Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the encryption department here at Car Talk. Plaza, does this have something to do with the recent discovery of the largest prime number? No, huh?
No.
Okay.
It's a little quiz for my brother.
Oh, jeez. All right.
Someone has gone to the trouble of encrypting. Encrypting? Is that the correct word?
Yeah, I guess so. Encrypting.
Encrypting the titles of Christmas carols. And I just wondered how many of these you could get right.
Well, let's give it a shot.
I'll give you a right. I'll start right from the top. Hush, the foretelling spirits harmonize.
Hush. Hush. I'm on the cusp of it.
Hark the herald angels sing.
Oh, got it. Right. Okay, good.
Okay. This is an easy one now. Hey, minuscule urban area southwest of Jerusalem.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem.
You got it.
Oh, goodness.
How about the autocratic troika originating near the accent of Apollo?
We three kings?
That's it.
Of Orient.
Of Orient
R.
R.
Okay.
During the time ovine caretakers supervised their charges past twilight.
While shepherds watched their flock by night.
Excellent! You see, you're not as dumb as everyone thought you were.
I didn't know. First of all, I had no idea that I knew this. Where's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
I'm getting to it. How about this one? Are you experiencing parallel auditory input?
Good King Wenceslas!
Sinking. Merry Christmas to you, too, you.
Humbug! Humbug!
Okay, good.
Oh, geez, if you have a question about your car or anything else that has to do with anything other than Christmas carols, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Katie in Portland, Oregon.
Katie, how you doing?
Good.
That's great.
So what's shaking, Katie?
Well, listen, I think this is a real mystery for you guys.
Yeah.
I have a 1990 Volvo 740 wagon that I bought about a year and a half ago.
I got news for you. Just about everything is a real mystery for us. Continue.
Okay. About 6 months or so I would notice when I started driving that my right leg would start going numb, like losing circulation. And then I would be barreling down the freeway, lifting myself off the seat with my left leg, just so I could try to get some blood flow back into my leg.
Really?
Which, you know, negates any possible safety features of the Volvo, I think.
It probably does. Now, tell me again, when you bought this vehicle?
About a year and a half ago.
A year and a half. And how long did it take for this numbness to occur?
I think about a year.
Oh, and a whole year.
Yeah.
So you drove the car without a problem for a year, and it's only recently.
Well, without a problem that I'm going to go into with you guys. The list of problems is endless. This is just one.
Oh, mechanical. We're not interested whatsoever in any of the mechanical problems.
No, no. This is a medical problem, man. Well, we can broaden our horizons into medicine.
I've always wanted to try medicine. It seems so easy on the surface.
Especially orthopedics.
Yeah, you Rh negative or what?
Yeah. So we got numbness in the right leg.
Numbness in the leg.
Is it all the way from the thigh down into the, what do you call that part?
Yeah, the foot.
The foot.
You know, orthopedics is good. It's just one step more difficult than dermatology.
It's got to be one heck of a zit. The stump the dermatologist.
Well, go on. I'm sorry, Katie.
We're taking this way too lightly, and we apologize.
All right, so you drive, and you've got numbness in the entire length of your right leg.
Pretty much the entire. I'd say more in the foot, but definitely the entire.
More in the foot.
It starts right at your rump, huh?
Well, I didn't want to get into that on the radio, but yes, you're right.
It does.
Yeah.
Do you jog?
No.
You should start.
Right leg.
I think you have a classic case of bad circulation.
I find that, except here's the mystery. It doesn't happen in any other car that I drive or am in a passenger in.
Right. It doesn't, because what's happening, I think, is the angle of the seat is cutting off the circulation just above your knee. And the reason I know this is we get an opportunity to test drive with few exceptions, just about everything that's sold. Like, we don't test drive Jaguars or Chevrolets anymore, but everything else we get to test drive, pretty much. But there are many cars which I find uncomfortable for that very reason, because the seat is either too short or too long, or the angle's peculiar, and you can't. A lot of cars don't have seats that you can adjust very much.
Mm-hmm.
The best cars have electric seats where you can adjust the seat to avoid problems like this.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, my wife drove a Mazda. What was that thing called?
MPV.
Yeah, MPV, for several years, and she complained of a knee injury.
A multiple pain vehicle.
Yeah, knee and foot. Multiple pain vehicle. And she tried to convince me that it was because of the angle of the seat, the angle that her leg made when she sat on the seat, and that the only thing that would solve it would be if she had a Mercedes.
Well, that was my next question.
I would recommend a Mercedes.
Okay.
Tell your husband.
Great.
That's the only thing that's going to cure it.
Well, you know, that was actually, I've been trying to get a new car, and you're giving me the exact answer that I wanted without much prompting on my part.
No, none at all. The check you sent helped.
Do you have a Caribbean contingent in Portland, Oregon?
A Caribbean contingent?
Yeah, I mean, do you have people from the West Indies?
Yeah? You mean like Jamaica, man?
Jamaica, man.
Euripides up, man?
Portland's not known for its diversity.
Well, because all the Jamaican cab drivers in the greater Boston area, and I don't know if other ethnic groups use these, they have these things they put on their seats that
the
look
beads.
Like beads.
Oh, those bead massage things.
There you go.
Yeah.
I think you should try that.
No. We got the woman a Mercedes here. You want your husband to go out and buy a $6 bead thing?
The real question is, did your wife get the Mercedes?
Of course not.
Of course not.
She got the beads.
Those beads are great, though.
Give me your number. I'm going to call her and commiserate.
Well, you might, if you don't want to spring for the expensive car, try the beads. They may provide enough muscular stimulation to get the blood flowing better.
Okay, so after having spent an arm and a leg on a used car, I now have to go buy more for it. Okay.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
Hey, Katie, it's been a joy and a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, thank you so much.
And enjoy your new car.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Okay.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Elliot Hill calling from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Hi, Elliot.
Milwaukee. Elliot. It has come to my attention that there are at least four different ways to spell Elliot, and maybe more.
Well, I spelled mine with two L's, and that's it.
And what?
And an I, and an O, and a T, and an E.
Well, T-S. I mean T-S.
T-S.
Spelled his.
One L.
With
same
one
way,
L and one
way.
T.
Well, I know that, but I chose two
Elliot
L's.
Elliot Thompson has two L's and two T's.
How do you spell it, Elliot?
Two L's and two T's.
Really?
And an I, and an O, and an E.
Okay.
Excellent. Yeah.
So, I have a problem. I have an 88 Thunderbird Turbo Coupe 2.3 EFI, and it has some sort, once it heats up, it has some sort of like a, what I'd call like a pulsation, whether it be forward lateral or backwards lateral, whatever. It's a pulsation.
Even before you move? You're sitting there in the car?
Well, I'm sitting in the car, but I notice that it's more prevalent when I'm driving the vehicle.
So, if you, when you start it up...
Sounds about right.
What do you actually feel? You feel
when the car's sitting, it does kind of lope a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, from 1,000 to 1,100 RPM,
yeah.
And then sometimes it even drops down from 1,000 to 800, and then back up to 1,000.
So you feel a very slight, like someone's giving you a little kick in the rear end of it.
Yeah, kind of like bucking transmission or something.
Yeah.
Like
it's called trailer hitching.
Uh huh.
Isn't that a good description of it?
It's perfect.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's sort of like the trailer is dragging you back.
Exactly. It has that feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been trying to figure this out for so long. So many people have this problem.
Well, yes. And if we could solve your problem, we would help millions. We could help about 135 million Americans.
That's right.
There are a lot of things that could be caused by, one of which is a vacuum leak.
Yes.
It happens also to be the only thing that I know of. I know you got five other things.
Are you kidding me?
I got vacuum leak. That's it.
Well, I should have let you have that one.
No, I don't want it. That's fine.
Your house must be pretty dusty with all those vacuum leaks.
Yeah.
Well, it could also be a lazy or a sticky exhaust gas recirculation
EGR valve.
EGR valve.
Mm.
Yeah. Or a leaky one.
Or a leaky one.
Yeah, that could be also be the source of your vacuum leak, but it could also be the source of too much exhaust getting into the stream of fresh combustibles.
Could it possibly have anything to do with the oxygen sensor?
Sure it could, but it's unlikely. I mean,
unlikely.
Unlikely. I mean,
you can
experiment with it. You can unplug the oxygen sensor.
Okay.
Just for a brief test period, you know, not permanently.
Okay.
Well, you can try unhooking the EGR, too. Remove the vacuum source from it. If it has an electrical connector, pull that off, too. Pull everything off.
Okay.
Disconnect everything.
Yeah.
But do one thing
at a time. Otherwise, you won't know what fixed it. But unplug the EGR or try the oxygen sensor first. I don't think that's going to do it. The next thing would be the EGR. That may do it.
So unplug the EGR and then take it for a spin?
Yeah.
And I should notice something?
Oh, you should notice an immediate difference.
It should be all gone.
And if that doesn't do it, don't call back because we don't have any other ideas.
I hear that one.
Good luck, Elliot.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure talking to you.
Take care.
Thanks for calling,
bye-bye.
Man.
Bye-bye. 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Kelly. I'm calling from Minneapolis.
Hi.
How many E's?
Only one.
All right.
Kelly from Minneapolis. How many E's in Minneapolis? One, two.
One.
Minneapolis.
Okay, one apiece.
Yeah.
Okay, shoot. Spill your guts, Kelly.
I'm pretty good. I've had this disagreement with my boyfriend for about a year, and I am looking to you to resolve it.
Well, I can just tell you that, first of all, the fact that you've had this disagreement and a whole year has gone by and you haven't broken up is a very, very good sign.
Yes, indeed.
It means that you probably can handle.
You're both accommodating kinds of people.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Or he's a wuss.
Well, right, he's submissive.
Could be that, too. So, he lives in Santa Cruz.
Oh, that's why. I take it all back. Santa Cruz?
Yeah.
What part of Minnesota is that?
It's not.
The western
California.
Part. The western part, yeah.
So, he has got this truck that's about maybe 2 years old, and he went outside and he warms it up when it's like 55 degrees out. He'll go out and start it and come back inside and wait a few minutes before he drives somewhere, and he tells me that this is necessary for the engine to run well. And I'm from Minneapolis, and maybe I'm not very knowledgeable about cars, but I don't warm my car up unless it's really pretty cold outside.
Yeah. No, his father taught him this.
Yeah. This is one of those things that you should never listen to your father about.
Really?
Yeah. No, you're right, Kelly.
I am?
Yeah.
Wait a minute now. Don't get carried away. Yeah. Don't get carried away. Let's not get smug and arrogant.
You certainly don't need to warm anything up when it's 50 degrees out.
Yeah.
If it were 0 degrees or below, you could be justified in warming your car up for maybe a minute or so.
Okay. But it's not necessary to make the engine run properly to do this when it's like 40 or 50.
Well, if you drive the kinds of cars that my brother has driven all his life, then every one of them needs to be warmed up for a lot more than a minute. But
well,
if you have a good running car, this is not going to improve the performance, nor will the performance be diminished if you don't warm it up.
So it doesn't do anything.
Doesn't do anything. It does, however, do one thing. It wastes gasoline.
I mean, you should.
I hear the gloating starting now.
I can see it now. They're going to be.
This is going to be a breakup.
They will no longer be an item in a week.
Yeah, you might as well send him the Dear Joe card right now.
Yeah. I mean, I know you're going to call him up tonight and he's going to say, "Hun, have I got good news for you? You're wrong."
I'm not going to wait till tonight. I'm going to call him at work right now.
Oh, you have a mean streak, Kelly.
I mean, the correct way to drive is you start the car. You might want to wait seconds, a few seconds, maybe two if it's 55 degrees, and start to drive. You might want to wait 30 seconds if it's 0 degrees, and then just drive, and that's it.
Cool, thanks.
But you shouldn't speed in those first 10 minutes. You should drive at a reasonable speed.
Okay.
25, 30 miles
an
hour.
So I guess his only defense here would be if you live so close to the highway that you'd be getting on the highway right away, then
no.
He would be justified in sitting there for a minute for fear that you didn't want to take a cold engine and start driving it at 65 miles an hour. But if you can warm the engine up in the 2 minutes or so time it takes you to get to the highway, then you should just get in it and drive.
He just told me some nonsense about you need to let it warm up so that oil gets all over.
Don't let him get away with anything, because otherwise he's gonna. if you let him get confident and cocky about this,
yeah, you gotta slap him down right away.
Yeah,
don't you?
Otherwise he's gonna foist all kinds of. He's obviously wrong about this. How many other things is he wrong about?
Yeah.
I just need to point out that I was right about it. That's
well, I think so. And when it comes to child rearing, for example, you want to make sure that if he's wrong, you can point to this example and say, you know, you were wrong before and I had to slap you around.
Yeah, and it would be good to know how he reacts to this.
Yeah.
Because if he can't handle being wrong, then you might have to dump him.
Yeah, that might be a problem.
And you'll have to judge for yourself whether he's the kind of guy you want to stay with.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good luck, Kelly.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
His father probably told him to do that.
Yeah. Knucklehead. Think of all the things we've told our kids that have been wrong. Think of them.
Hmm.
It boggles the mind.
Actually, I've been right about everything I've told them.
Yeah.
That's why they refer to me affectionately as
St. Thomas.
A crazy old man.
All right. Before we give the answer to last week's puzzle, we have to take a short break. Do you know why?
Yeah, so you can figure out the answer.
That's right. We'll be back in a minute.
And even though the lights on the NPR Christmas tree flicker and go out whenever we say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzle, and here it is.
What was the question?
Several months ago, I was at Logan Airport here in Boston. I just go to smell the jet fuel, and I don't really fly anyplace.
And thank God that you're not getting on a plane.
No, and while I was there, I happened to see an old college chum of mine, and as I'm struggling to remember his name, what happens? Inevitably, he disappears into the crowd. And I think, gee, that's too bad. I would have liked to have said hello to him, if nothing else. And
yeah. Where the heck did he go?
He was my roommate for 3 years. And I'm sure he still wants his $200 back. I borrowed $200 from him. But for the life of me, I can't remember his name. And all I can remember is that he lived in the Midwest someplace. So I run to those overhead monitors, and I see that there are like a dozen flights going to destinations in the Midwest. You know, Missouri, Iowa, Indiana, New Jersey, Florida.
Springfield.
Puerto Rico. All those Midwest states. So it's hopeless. And I stand there for a minute, and suddenly I come up with a plan. And 2 minutes later, I find him.
Really? Aren't you clever?
How did I do it? Well, I will confess that there were obfuscations here. The fact the Midwest thing was an obfuscation.
Yeah. A red herring.
Completely
red. Yeah.
Blazing red herring.
Blazing red.
And then when I say I find him, I didn't find him.
No.
He found me.
Exactly.
Because I went to the customer service desk.
The white phone.
And I paged myself.
Exactly.
And he says, that no.
I'm going to go collect that $200. That sleazeball hasn't paid me for 20 years. And there he was. With his hands are on your neck.
His hands in my wallet.
if you had given that as part of the puzzle, and within 2 minutes, he had found me and had his hands around my neck. That would have done it.
Anyway, who's our winner this week?
Our winner this week is Therese Cooper from Portland, Oregon. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Therese gets a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, with which you can get one of our boxed sets.
Box sets of what?
Oh, they're just box sets. Real nice boxes, though.
No, come on, man. They got to be something in them.
They're box sets of Car Talk CDs.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. Anyway, congratulations, Therese. You are this week's Puzzler winner.
And if your name is not Therese, don't despair. We have a new Puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. In the meantime, if you have a car question, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Aaron from Oklahoma City.
OKC.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on?
Okay, I drive a 2002 Ford Ranger, and I scraped the side of my truck along a pole. And it didn't do any damage, but it hit the back of the side view mirror and knocked the mirror out of it.
Oh, so you really hit mostly the mirror?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Did you scrape up the side of the truck?
There's a little bit of scrape on the paint, but no dents or anything.
So how did this happen? Yeah. Were you on your cell phone having an argument with your girlfriend?
No. I was going into work on a Saturday and not paying attention. And
not paying attention.
Took too wide of a turn in a parking garage.
Oh. Uh-huh. Tommy did that once with a brand new microbus that we were test driving. A Vanagon, as a matter of fact. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I wasn't going to mention your little incident with the mirrors, but I will now. Now that you opened your big mouth.
Oh.
He was driving a pickup truck, a brand new pickup truck.
Oh, it was a Dodge.
Loaned to us by Bugsy.
Oh, yeah.
And he's driving along and he gets to a street and there are cars parked on both sides.
They were moving trucks. And there were a lot of cars. There were a lot of pedestrians. I couldn't see.
There were guys on both sides and he just floors it.
No, I didn't. I was very cautious. There were moving trucks, pedestrians. There were all kinds of people. It was downtown Boston. It was rush hour. I was getting nervous.
Oh.
This truck was much wider than it ever should have been. And I hit the passenger side mirror and that thing flew right off. And of course, reacting to that, I naturally, anyone's reaction would be to swerve to the left.
Swerve to the left.
And within a split second, I removed the other mirror, too. Anyway, Aaron, so your mirror's still there, but you knocked the glass out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ah.
Well, some mirrors you can buy just the glass.
Well, I tried that, but I keep being told that because it's an electric mirror, they can't replace just the glass. They want me to replace the entire thing.
That's true.
Yeah, and you got to do that.
You might have to do that, and that's big money.
And I'm wondering, why is that?
Well, it must be that the way the mirror is attached must have it must be bonded to the glass somehow, and it can't be replaced separately. So how much does the Ford dealer want for the whole mirror?
The dealer wants $180 to replace everything.
And that includes the labor?
Yes.
Gee, that's pretty cheap, actually.
I can find the part for $80 in its own, so it's not a big repair.
Yeah.
And you can do it yourself, probably.
I know someone who can.
I mean, you removed it.
You might as well replace it.
Do you have a friend that has tools?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it probably requires taking the door panel apart.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you can't put it back on, you don't really need that inside door panel. You can throw that in the garage. And then there's a plug you have to remove and a couple of screws that hold the thing onto the door. It's pretty easy.
All right.
Yeah, I think you should give it a shot. I mean, to save $100.
Sure, that's worth $100.
Yeah, and the worst case scenario is you screw it up and you go in with the door panel off and a bunch of clips and screws and whatever that you can't figure out.
And it'll be a lot cheaper.
And they'll put it together for you for $50.
Yeah,
but
all right.
I would do it. Give it a shot.
Okay.
It's so cheap, though. Most mirrors, when you have to buy the entire assembly, are a lot more money than this. So at $180, it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Go for it, man.
All right.
And how do you happen to know the prices of these? Never mind.
No, I know. See you, Aaron. I did happen to investigate the prices of those mirrors on that Dodge, and I know they're a lot more than this. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Susie. I made it from California to Dallas, driving on my way to Mexico. Do you remember me?
Yes,
Susie!
Oh, boy. Okay, so this is the latest.
Wait a minute. We got to remind people who you are.
Okay.
Susie, where'd you start from?
From Carlsbad, California.
Right, Carlsbad, California.
And you were picking up your father at some point.
Yeah, I just got here last night.
She's
okay.
picking up her father in Dallas. Then she's going to drive to Mexico and then drive across from the west coast to the east coast of Mexico.
Yeah, from Tulum back to La Paz and then up the southern part.
Yeah, La Paz. Isn't that in Bolivia?
It is. Yeah, don't tell her. Don't tell her.
But you guys, I pretty much need your help right now.
Right? Oh, sure. You only did the first leg of the trip and you're already in trouble.
When Susie called a couple of weeks ago, we told her to keep us posted on her progress. And she was going to bring a cell phone and call us from the desert in the middle of Mexico, but we're still in Dallas and she's in trouble. Are you really in trouble?
Well, yeah. On the way here, it was a nice trip, except there was this high-pitched noise, you know, on acceleration. And it was a new noise, you know, that I hadn't heard before.
Always happens. As soon as you get out on the highways, what is that?
And now we just took it to someone, and we drained the oil in the transmission. Mm. And on the plug are some metal chips, you know, like quite a few metal chips.
That's okay.
Uh-huh.
You got a lot of metal in that transmission.
Is this a stick shift?
Yeah.
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 Don't worry about it.
Is the high-pitched noise prevalent when you're stepping on the gas,
right,
but it goes away when you take your foot off?
Right.
Well, actually, it's bad and it's good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's bad because you ain't going to fix it.
Okay.
Certainly not here or Mexico.
So is that meaning new transmission or?
No. I wouldn't worry about
it. Well, not till you get to the middle of Mexico, anyway. Yeah, when you find on the map the most godforsaken place in the province of Chihuahua. And that's where the transmission's going to blow. What's making the noise is actually the differential part.
Right. Uh-huh. Somebody mentioned that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have a bad mesh between the ring gear and the pinion gear because you either had no oil in there or you had low oil.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd worry about it.
That's what I say.
Yeah, you need a can of Transmission Medic.
This is a common problem. It happens all the time, and the fix is to rebuild or replace or forget. And the forgetting is the best and cheapest solution. And the truth is, it could go on for many, many, many tens of thousands of miles before anything happens. So I guess I would do something to maybe knock down the noise a little bit, just so you don't get nervous, because it takes a while to convince yourself that you can really drive forever listening to this noise, because it sounds dire.
Yeah,
I would
get a Sony Walkman if I were you.
Yeah, that's the way I made it across the desert.
See, you got the right attitude. You got the right attitude.
Yeah.
And you were right in this case. The Sony Walkman is the solution. Tell them to fill it up again with tranny fluid, and don't worry about this. You'll make it okay.
Okay.
So now you're headed from here with Daddy-O.
Right.
From Dallas to Mexico is a long haul right there.
Yeah, it's it's a couple days to the border, including the paperwork that we have to do there. And then it's comfortably 5 days to the Yucatan.
Yeah, and good luck. Don't worry about this. You'll have other things to worry about, but this ain't one of them.
Oh, I think you guys just want an interesting show, huh? You want me to get down there and call you for
We want a call on a cell phone from Chihuahua.
Yeah, we want to know when one of your cylinder heads melts.
No, seriously, Susie, we would not give you bum advice on this on this score.
Okay.
Stay in touch, Susie.
Okay, thanks, you guys.
Bye.
I hope we're right.
The saga of Susie.
The saga.
This will be the ultimate stump the chumps if we blow this one.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have to resign.
No, but we're both.
This will be a scandal of the first magnitude.
No, both of us have driven tens of thousands of miles. Each of us
has driven. Yeah, but not over a period of weeks.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, it does matter.
She's
never going to make it. Quick, get her back.
No. I bet your reputation.
Press *69. Get her back.
Nah, she's going to make it. This is not what's going to make her not make it. That's all I can say.
It's that melted cylinder head.
The cylinder head.
We didn't discuss that with her, did we?
Not
yet. Overheating.
Not yet.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Neil calling from Austin, Texas. How
Neil.
You doing?
Neil, the real deal from Austin, Texas.
I've got a very great conundrum.
Yeah.
A little while back, I drive two Volvos, and One of them has 165,000. The other one has 265,000 on them. So they're still pretty new. But my son decided to play the double bass. And needless to say, you can't fit a double bass into a Volvo one way or another. So we're thinking of getting a van.
Well, you can. In fact, our good friend, Dr. Richard Brown.
Yes.
Here in Austin?
No.
Oh.
No, here in Boston. He's our dentist.
Oh.
His wife, Margaret, plays the bass, and they managed to put her bass, she plays bluegrass bass, into their Volvo.
It's just a sedan.
Yes.
It's just through the little ski hole?
What ski hole? Oh, in the back?
In the back seat.
I don't know how they get it in, but they managed to get it in and close all the windows.
Huh.
Of course, Margaret rides on the roof.
Well, we also have a baby, which means we have a car seat also.
Oh, you've complicated.
That's a real problem. So here's where my problem comes in, is should we get a van? Now, I was thinking of getting a minivan, but your show recently brought to my attention the wussification of American men by virtue of minivans. And to me, that's a big deal because I'm pretty much so a wuss anyway, but I don't want to add to it.
Yeah.
You can relate to that problem.
I relate to it myself.
Yeah,
I do.
Are you a wuss or a wussy? Because a wussy, I think, is worse than a wuss.
Ah.
Yeah, you must just be a wuss, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just a wuss.
You're just a wuss.
Yeah, and I don't want to get any more wussified than I already am.
Yeah, I mean, if you're starting out as a wuss and then you drive a minivan,
that's
the end of
it. I have to suggest, then, the state vehicle of Texas.
The Suburban.
There you go, baby.
He knew.
The problem is, we live in Westlake Hills, which is west of town, and all the housewives out here drive Suburbans.
Yeah.
And my wife looked at him and said, "You won't catch me dead driving one of those things." And I said, "Well, okay. Well, what should we do?" So we started talking about full-sized vans.
Now, how about the wagon, Volvo wagon?
The one with 265,000 is the Volvo wagon.
And you can't get the base in a Volvo? Sure.
Yeah, I bet we could if we knocked the seats down and everything.
Sure, you knock down the back seat, and you lay that baby right on through. I mean, I also happen to play the double bass.
Oh, you do?
I certainly do.
My son will be glad to know that.
And I mean, I've squeezed that baby into many little vehicles. I think you just have to get the right... I think the biggest thing you have to
do. Well, the first thing you have to do is not worry about the bridge. If you're willing to knock the bridge off... You can fit it into almost anything.
Yeah, I did that a couple of times.
Mm. Yeah, so the Suburban's out. A van is a possibility.
Yeah, like a full size, but Dodge, Ford, or Chevy, or I mean, I have a 1958 Chevy pickup truck. Now that can help hedge my wussification.
Yeah, certainly does.
Those are pickup truck. Those are points for you.
Oh, you're way ahead then.
Yeah. My wife says, if it ran.
Oh, well.
It runs from time to time
you
when it wants to. When you're that old, you don't have to do what everybody wants.
That's right, you don't.
Be nice to it.
Yeah.
And here's what I'm going to suggest to you, and you're going to love this thing, and so is your wife.
Yeah.
That you buy a full-size conversion van.
Oh,
nice. What do you mean with a bed in the back?
There you go, baby.
Now you're talking the stereo
the
system.
The chandeliers and
those aircraft-type lights all around the perimeter with the flashing exit sign.
Sure, because if you just buy a plain old full-size van, then it's just a utilitarian vehicle for carrying around this stupid base.
Yeah.
And other than that, it doesn't serve any purpose, whereas if you buy a conversion van...
My wife and I could take it on dates.
Exactly. You could take it on vacations. You could do all kinds of wonderful stuff.
Ooh, that's scary, though. Now I just said my wife and I could take it on dates. I've got a son coming up on 16.
He can take it on dates, too.
No, no. Forget about the conversion
van.
I'll
give him the 58 Chevy pickup.
Well, Neil, I'm sure we haven't helped you one iota.
Yeah.
Not in the slightest, but I really appreciate your input.
But it has been a pleasure talking to you.
It certainly has.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Take care.
Bye-bye. All right. It's time to take a short break.
Hey, will I have enough time during the break to go out and spend the Christmas bonus that NPR gave me?
Oh, yeah, I know you will. And I tell you what, while you're going out, take my bonus, too, and then you can feed both of our meters.
All right, we'll be back with a brand-new puzzler. Hey, what's the nature of the puzzler this week?
You know, it has a little bit of history and folklore and all kinds of stuff. Art. I love art history. And, of course, we'll also have more of your calls, so stay tuned. We'll be back in just a minute.
Up all night trying to get to you. I drive, drive, drive. Hammer down, music loud. I drive, drive, drive. Keep driving on and bring it home. I text you, babe, but it ain't safe. I drive, drive, drive. Don't want to waste the time it takes. I drive, drive, drive. Drive it on and bring it home.
And even though wooden toy soldiers start marching towards the fireplace whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back.
Don't wake me up!
You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappert Brothers. And, of course, we're here to talk about cars, car repair, but first, the Puzzler.
The Puzzler, yeah.
Well, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, this Puzzler is from the worlds of history, folklore, art history, etymology,
oof,
obfuscation, and maybe complete fabrication, but we don't really know.
Wow.
But here it is.
This must have taken you a long time.
Not really.
You just wrote it down, right?
You ready? For centuries, the world has been astounded by both the art and artisanry of Italian glassblowers of the Renaissance. In fact, glassmaking was such a secret, all the formula was such secrets, that they even moved the glass artists to the island of Murano from Venice.
Murano glass.
So nobody would be. And
have you been there?
No, they wouldn't let me in. They afraid I'd steal the secrets. They chained them to the floor, actually. Anyway, while many of these artists' creations have found their way to museums and private collections in virtually every corner of the world, many did not. And even for those with many years of training in this art form, success was often elusive. Uh-huh. And when these artists of that era would fail in their attempts to create something of beauty, they would often save these lackluster works to serve as a reminder of, you know, the fact that they had messed up. Maybe there was a flawed technique or some inattention to detail.
So they kept all of these things in the lab.
Somewhere. And these artists would often refer to these substandard works of art, these disappointments, these failures, as bottles. You know, hey, Giacomo, what's that you make? It's just a bottle.
A stinking bottle.
Anyway, we use this Italian word for bottle in the English language. In fact, we use it intact, unchanged, except in English it does not mean bottle. Rather, its meaning is derived from its use by those Italian glassblowers. And the question is, what's the word? And the word is a common word.
And it's an English word.
It's an English word, and it's often been used by many what I'd say, in association with this very program. Doug Berman says, disaster? No, but you're close. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the rear bumper of an Oshkosh H-Series high-speed snowblower with a twin turbocharged inline diesel 6, glide coat-treated propeller shafts, one-piece panoramic windshield, heated driver's seat, and a small airplane hangar in which to store it, and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt02238.
Or, of course, you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But if you must have an answer right now, give us a call. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Taz from San Francisco, California.
Taz?
Yeah, T-A-Z.
T-A-Z.
Yes.
From San Francisco.
You got it.
Open them pearly gates.
Taz.
Yeah, so Taz.
Was this like shortened from like razzmatazz?
No. It's shortened from Tazewell.
Tazewell?
Yeah, T-A-Z-E-W-E-L-L.
Isn't that in New Mexico where the aliens landed?
Actually, it's Dutch.
It's Dutch. Tazewell.
Yeah, I think I'm the fifth.
Really?
Yeah.
Tazewell the fifth?
Yeah.
You must come from a family of very unimaginative people. What do we name? I don't know. Let's name them the same thing that we always name the kids.
Yeah. Is there any Rogers or Richards in there?
I don't know. It sounded good on my college application.
I mean, at least I know of some people who are numbered. I know a guy named Seven.
This is a name that will get you into Harvard.
Yes.
Oh,
my
absolutely.
Middle name being Wellington, too. So.
Oh,
Oh, Taz Wellington?
Tazewell Wellington.
The fifth.
The fifth.
Oh, are you kidding me?
You don't even, do not take the SATs, just pass go. That's it, man. You're in Harvard.
Yes.
In any Ivy League school you want, as a matter of fact. And if you could skate, that would do it.
Right, you'd be on the Olympic team.
So what's up, Taz?
Me and my wife bought a 99 Cherokee Sport last year.
Yeah.
And we spent the first season with it up north in Tahoe in the snow. And me and my wife both find it really uncomfortable to drive in four-wheel drive below about 30 miles an hour. It becomes pretty jerking, and it pulls a lot, and anytime you make a turn or anything, it sort of fights you on it.
Because you shouldn't be in four-wheel drive on dry roads.
No, this is up in the snow.
This is up in the snow?
Up in the snow.
And we had a Blazer before this that wasn't so bad at all in four-wheel drive.
So you just feel like the steering is jerky.
It feels like I'm going to buckle the front,
yeah.
You know.
And it's fighting you all the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
what do you want from us?
Well, I don't think this thing has a center differential. I think this is a...
This is four-wheel, four-wheel drive.
This is on-demand four-wheel drive. This is the same drivetrain they had
45,
in 1945 when the war ended.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's nothing we're going to do to help you.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do. You have it.
Yeah.
You're stuck with it.
Yeah.
And what can we tell you?
Yeah, I mean, if you take the thing out of four-wheel drive and put it in two-wheel drive, it's okay, huh?
I'm not hurt. Yeah, it's fine, actually. It's a beaut.
And why don't you just do that? I mean, if, in fact, everyone else is getting around with two-wheel drive,
yeah.
The only time you really need the four-wheel drive is to extricate yourself from a snowbank.
Mm.
But if you're on a... It's not really helping you too much on a paved road that's snow-covered.
Right.
As long as you can go, it doesn't really help you stop any better.
Hmm.
It does improve your traction a little bit, but if you've got enough traction to move yourself, leave it in two-wheel drive.
That's what I would do.
All right.
Yeah, take it out of four-wheel drive. Because if you do hit dry pavement and you don't take it out of four-wheel drive, you can flip the thing over.
Uh-huh.
Because you don't have a center differential. Mm. And it can be dangerous. You know, it's got that warning on the visor.
Yeah, it's like three paragraphs long.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you should read that again. Or for the first time. Let's see. You've only had it for a year. It might be time to read it. It says, don't drive this thing as though it were a car, because it isn't a car.
Right.
And you could really get hurt, it says, in legalese, you know.
Yeah, it does say something to that.
It does say something to that effect. Yeah.
Right.
And it really is true. And it has to be really true if they put it on the visor.
Hmm.
And don't forget, it wasn't their idea to put it on the visor.
Okay,
it was our
God.
Great government who was watching over us.
Well, it was their lawyers, actually. See you, Taz.
Thanks.
Good luck. 1-888
Tazewell Wellington the fifth. Man,
yeah.
What would you give for a name like that? The truth is, you could have a name like that for no money. You could just go down to City Hall tomorrow, and you could make yourself have a name like that.
Well, not you, because you don't look like Tazewell.
I don't look like a Tazewell Wellington.
You could be Rocco Bajigalupo III.
Or I could be Omar somebody.
No, Rocco Bajigalupo.
Yeah.
1-888
Oh, so you have to look the part, too.
Exactly. If you tried to pass yourself off as Tazewell Wellington, they throw you out on your sorry butt.
Yeah, but see, if you don't have to send in a photograph with your application to Harvard. Right?
Yeah, that
if
was
you
my
did, mistake. Then it would be discrimination of some kind.
Well, that was
ugly.
You realize
ugliness discrimination.
I was almost not accepted to MIT because at the time you did have to send in a photograph.
You did.
And I didn't have enough zits.
Oh, they have a scanner.
Oh,
they had it way back then.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah,
there's a zit, you know, quotient. I mean, if you know, it depends on your height and weight and all that.
Yeah.
It's a rather complex
formula.
Well,
it's probably just the area. Yeah.
Yeah.
The percentage of your face that's covered.
Oh, no, I think it's more involved than that.
Oh, it's more than the face. The back is included.
Oh, yeah. It was a
full body photo.
It was, oh, yeah, of course. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. It was. Everyone has them on his face.
Oh, that's right.
Somebody had it on your back.
We sent a photograph of the back, especially the shoulders
butt.
And the neck. The neck is important. Come on, that's not nice. It's not nice to make fun of our fellow whatever they are there.
Nerds.
Geeks.
Well, I just wanted to mention that I was almost refused, but at the last minute, they took pity on me. They turned the picture over. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888 888- 877-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Patricia from Cook City, Montana.
Hi, Patricia.
Hi.
Cook City.
Well,
Cook.
For a second there, I thought you had a hint of a British accent.
Well, she has an accent, but it's not British.
Well, I'm from New England, but I now live in the Rocky Mountains just outside of Yellowstone National Park, and the population here is 60. Now, it's a three-hour drive to the nearest town that has a service station, and between here and there, there are three packs of wolves.
Cook City. Population. Okay. My brother's house has a larger population than your hotel.
Cook City, Montana.
Yes. At the present moment, there is an enormous buffalo in the backyard, and in order to get to the car, I have to first get past the buffalo.
You know, your buffalo are pretty fast, aren't they?
Yes.
I remember years ago, we were at Yellowstone, and we were, my wife and children and I had taken a trip, and I remember driving on some lonely road and coming across a buffalo grazing in a field.
Uh-huh.
And realizing that it was much bigger than I thought buffaloes were, I encouraged my wife to get out and take some videotape of this buffalo.
Yeah. Not you.
Oh, I was driving. I couldn't possibly man the video camera.
No.
So after the remaining three of us pushed her out of the car, she reluctantly agreed to take some footage of this buffalo grazing. And at some point, I remember hearing something like, oh, and she was running and just made it back to the car with the buffalo in hot pursuit.
No kidding.
Yeah, buffalo aren't so docile.
Well, he's standing about 10 feet from the car. But in the event that I do make it to the car, here's the problem.
Hmm.
I have a 1980 Subaru. It's a four-wheel drive, four-speed.
Yeah.
All right, now I turn the key, and it starts right up. I let go of the key. It stays in the on position. The car stops running.
Perfect.
I thought it was the ignition switch, so I purchased a new one and installed it, and the same thing happened. Then I went and purchased a whole new ignition. I installed that, and the same thing happened.
Got it. Okay. We're with you.
But this is a clue I think is important. Something is draining the battery. Every 4 or 5 days, the battery is completely dead.
Hmm.
Must be that buffalo.
So how do you start it now?
I put the key in, I turn it, vroom, it starts right up. As soon as the key goes back to the on position, and it doesn't go to off, it stays in the on position, it just stops dead.
Boy, it's going to be a long winter.
Oh, no.
It's going to be a long winter.
No.
You're going to be cuddling up to that buffalo pretty soon. you're going to be your roommate.
Oh, no.
Buffalo Bill.
This is a classic example of a bad ballast resistor.
Say that again. A what resistor?
Ballast.
Ballast?
See, what the ballast resistor does is the current that the battery's putting out 12 volts. And so when you're starting the car, you want all those 12 volts to go to the ignition so it will have a lot of juice. But once the car is running, when it goes to the on position, not the start position, this ballast resistor becomes part of the circuit so that the voltage going to the coil, instead of being 12 volts, is only 9.
Okay.
And if that ballast resistor is broken,
then
you will have exactly the symptom that you have. You start it, and when you turn it to the start position, the ballast resistor ain't there. So it starts. You let go of the key.
Oh.
It goes to the start position. Bingo, ballast resistor. And it's broken, and the electricity can't get through it, and bingo, it doesn't run.
Would that also drain the battery?
No.
No, you have another problem.
Those are two separate problems.
Okay.
No, I mean, the battery may be going dead because the regulator is not working and charging up the battery.
Yeah, okay.
I think the first step is to get it away from the buffalo.
Yeah, but how are we going to do that?
Well, I think you need, is this a male or a female buffalo?
I think it's a bull.
Oh, jeez.
Yes. Where do I look? How do you tell?
Oh, well, I know how you tell, but I don't think I want to get close enough to tell. Call up the Subaru dealer.
Yes. Okay.
Call up Subaru of Montana.
Okay.
And ask them if this car has a ballast resistor and if they could kindly mail you one.
Mail? There's 60 people. There's no post office in Cook City.
No, there is a post office.
Oh,
that's all there is in a one-room
school.
That's
all there is.
Oh, cool. So you could actually get mail.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, we do get it 5 days a week now. We used to only get it 3.
Ah.
then ask them to mail you a ballast resistor and the one-page instruction on where it is.
Okay, yeah.
Now, once you get it, you'll find it. It's under the hood.
Okay.
It's under the hood, usually mounted on the firewall, right behind the steering wheel.
If it isn't
there.
That, it's probably the igniter, but you'll have to call back about that because we're out of time.
Okay, thank you very much.
Patricia, boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Patricia, it's been a pleasure.
Well, it's been very helpful to me. I really appreciate it.
Well, I hope we have helped you, but we're not going to get you out of Cook City, but that was your choice and not ours. And I know that you must love it there, or why else would you subject yourself to this kind of torture? So
the obvious question is why?
Why do you live there?
Well, there was this guy.
It's always the same, isn't it?
Isn't that stupid?
Isn't it stupid? Yeah. And of course now he's gone.
And he and the dog ran off together?
Yeah. He and Shep are now in Tampa Bay. And Patricia
living it up like Don King. And they stuck you out there in the snow.
Yes,
Patricia's stuck
in
Cook City with a...
Get your Subaru fixed and you can find another fella.
Okay.
Good luck,
see
Patricia.
You,
it's a pleasure talking to you. You are one unique person.
So are you too.
Bye.
Thank you very, very much.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
How can we be a unique person?
Yeah, half
a brain each.
We share a brain.
Yeah.
Well, it's happened again. You were frittered.
Yeah.
Frittered. Away. Another hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher, Fenelosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the West Mobile, braised veal, curried eel, braised seal, lemon peel, chamomile, and blue cheese wheel. Happy meal is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Merkey of Merkey Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our holiday decoration specialist is Aretha Hawley. Our long-distance truck driver is Etienne Wheeler. And our solicitor of new ideas is Obi Quiet. Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Ottavindo. Our eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. Our chief benefactor is Myra Chunkle. The president of the disgruntled Hatchback Owners Club is Ivana Trunk. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to dazed shoppers fighting over hand-dipped candles in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
Remember, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1251, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, it's holiday travel season.
That's right, so we urge you to read our carefully thought out winter driving tips before it's too late.
Before it's too late for what?
Well, too late to escape from your mother-in-law's once your car breaks down.
Heaven forfend!
Yeah, read our tips for helping you and your car survive the winter right now over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the NPR photographer checks to make sure he cropped us out of the holiday card whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.